It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. I have two gentlemen here with me. I'm basking in their aura. My co-host, the greatest fisherman. No, he's not. He's a really good fisherman. 34th, 77th best, 112th best fisherman in the United States. Mark Tobin, he can catch him out of his bathtub. Coffee tables, we've talked about that over the years.
Living room floor.
Yes. Living room floor.
Window wells in the house, yes.
The window wells in the house.
These are dreams I've had. But
I understand. And he's been beamed up several times and on the rings of Saturn. But other than that, he's a good guy. And one of my favorite guests is in the studio with us, Boyd Metz. We're going to talk about HSM ammunition and Starlight Brass.
Hi, Fred.
How are you doing?
I'm just great this morning. How about yourself?
Somewhere between excellent and good.
Yeah.
I like to complain when do no good.
Well, my flashlight worked this morning. I have to use that to get out of the tent. And,
I understand.
Put my long johns on.
Is it cold in that tent?
Well, occasionally it gets a little chilly. You know.
I understand.
I pull another bear blanket over me.
You look back at your life right now. Do you think wish you were more successful where you could have a thermostat on the wall and...
That's my twilight years dream, Fred.
It is.
Yeah.
Boyd, I hate to tell you this. You're in your twilight.
Don't I know it.
You're not a kid anymore.
Yeah. You know? Don't I know it.
Oh, well, what the hey. Hey, drum roll. No, we can't have a drum roll. We should have a drum roll. The changes in turkey season are upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, by the magic of Kelly Kurtz, call me, text me, call me. You're going to hunt all day in the state of Missouri for turkeys. It used to always be at 1 o'clock that you had to go home.
Right. Or go crappie fishing.
Go crappie fishing, whichever tripped your trigger, which was always a great day to go turkey hunting in the morning, crappie fishing in the afternoon. But on private ground, you're going to be able to hunt all day. Now on public ground, you can still only hunt until 1 o'clock. So that's some big changes.
Yeah.
And I have to analyze it. You know, I'm 72 years old. Things don't line up like it used to. But I think that's good.
It's got to be good. I'm kind of surprised with, you know, turkey numbers seemingly down from allowing them to hunt all day. I mean, that's great. Too bad they don't do it on federal ground also. But hopefully maybe that'll change too.
Yeah, who knows? You know, I mean, it's here's my thought on it too is that if you go out there at noon and you get a turkey gobble at you, he's dead. He's wanting a girlfriend awful, awful bad in the deal. So, you know, I was just amazed that they did it. You know, I think all the other states I've hunted, you know, Alabama's, Mississippi's, Texas, you hunt all day. You don't even think anything about it down there. And they go, you do what, Missouri? Yeah. You know, 1 o'clock, you know. So, anyway, that's kind of breaking news. That's a big deal.
Good.
That's a big deal.
Still all shotgun, though, isn't it?
You can do bow and arrow, but not
2%. Pennsylvania had a rifle season.
Yes, they do. Oklahoma has a rifle season, too, don't they? And they shoot their little heads off.
Yeah, and it was an option deal you could take. I can remember years ago carrying an 870 Remington and a little 43 Winchester and 218B.
Mm.
You go into your area, and then they come out with... the shotgun rifle combination guns. I think it was a Tika or something of that nature. Uh-huh. But
218B, that shows your age, young man.
Yeah.
I bet there's nobody understands what you just said. 218B.
Probably not. Certainly not in the 43 Winchester, model 43 Winchester, little bolt action gun.
218B, I haven't heard that in 20 years.
Well, it's like the 22 Hornet, but actually, we're about to make a run on 22 Hornet ammunition. Build
at HSM, is?
Yeah, HSM's going to be building.
Wow, cool.
22 Hornet ammunition. It's surprising. Nice little cartridge. 218B. Out getting involved is I feel a little better cartridge, a little bit more case capacity, and it's more of a bottleneck versus the Hornets. More of a tapered straight wall case. But yeah, there's still a lot of those guns out there.
Do you own a 218B, Mark?
No, I hate to admit, I have not heard that before.
You know, I tell you what, I bet there isn't a handful of listeners out here that would have a 218B.
Probably not.
Probably not, because that, you know, that was, what, 60s? Early
60s? 50s, actually.
50s?
Yeah, they were the 43s. I think they stopped making them maybe in the late 60s or something.
Before I forget this, because I'm old and I'm very forgetful.
Yes.
What was your thought pattern when Remington moved out of Elion, New York?
Well, I think it was just a business decision based somewhat on politics and labor cost to keep the ship floating. I mean, that's become, and if you look at the general state of the industry as far as companies go, a lot of them are moving into the South, Southeast.
Sure are.
And it's a friendly climate and
pro-gun.
Pro-gun. Labor costs are reasonable. And I think the companies are just doing what's necessary to stay alive. So I'm all in favor of that.
I think they built, my understanding, what I've read, they built the state-of-the-art facilities now.
Yes.
Everything's going to be cut with a laser. Everything's precision will be better.
Yep.
On a deal, so yeah, it might be a blessing in disguise. But you know, I like tradition. 1890 something when Elion, New York, yeah, and started building Remington.
And you feel bad for the people because,
sure,
right now in that plant, there's third and in some instances fourth generation people.
Sure,
that their families, their father, their grandfather, and their great grandfather worked in that that facility.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
So it's kind of one of those things, you know, I don't know if it's evolution or revolution.
One or the other. Whatever. So, it's kind of like Mark's, the third generation Tobin lawnmowers.
True.
Yeah. True, isn't it?
Yeah.
And one of these days, some big conglomerate will come and buy Tobin lawn.
That's going to happen. I've still got some sons, one in particular, that'll and do the fourth generation.
It'll be the fourth generation on the darn thing.
I figured he'd sell out and then be, you know, traveling to his yacht on his private helicopter or jet.
Yeah, there's so much money there to be had. Yeah. I got to tell you guys a little story. This happened to me this week. You know, my wife almost got hit again by a deer. So you got to watch, you know, watch what's going on the side of these roads. Well, I was traveling 2:30 in the afternoon on Red Bridge Road in between Warnell and Holmes.
There shouldn't be any deer there.
There is, absolutely. But this wasn't a deer. Somebody running along the side of the road. I could see her a ways away.
Uh-huh.
And as I got closer, she turned around and started running the other way. I thought, my gosh, she has got a skin-tight outfit on. I mean, skin-tight. But it wasn't skin-tight. It was skin. She was running naked down the road.
I do that all the time.
God, I hope I don't come across that.
I passed her.
Oh, it's an experience. You know, it's a vast experience.
Passed
they don't
her
call
and
me Thunder Weenie for nothing, you know.
I passed her and looked at her, and she had, like, Snoopy ear bouncing around and beating her to death on her chest.
She's getting pictures.
No, it just happened so fast.
I'll give you a little worldly insight with regard to deer population. I have a good friend in Ireland, and we talked. Oh, we met back in '86 on a hunt in Denmark, and we just hit it off. And I've been there, and matter of fact, I'm going back. I think in May, hopefully. But he's in the firearms business and distribution and retail, and he said that I asked him how his business was. He said, "Well, business is picked up, boy." And I said, "Is there a reason?" Because it's a big shotgun country, although they do hunt with rifles.
Mm-hmm.
And Ireland is being overrun by deer.
Huh. Whoa.
Who would have thunk it, so to speak?
Yeah, right.
But the farmers have been complaining, a lot of crop destruction, a lot of automobile damage. Mm-hmm. So now the insurance companies are on to it.
Well, that's happened here in Missouri.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to determine just how to humanely rid the country of a portion, whatever, of the deer herd. of all places. I mean, I just you wouldn't think
you
of Ireland.
Quite, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's ship them some CWD.
Yeah.
That'll get rid of them.
Yeah, that should. But I thought that was interesting, knowing what they do here.
Yeah. It is interesting. Yeah. You know, we had pretty well about what we expected, I guess, in the deer harvest. I guess is that a fair statement, Mark?
Yeah.
About close what we thought it would be.
I think it was down 10,000 deer.
It was all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very much at all. But as we were talking earlier before the show started, I've got so many pictures of quality deer that I always get quite a few, but I never got this many. You know, people send me pictures of their deer, and my goodness, here's my thought on that, which is probably harmless, but basic. I guess that's kind of basic going through life, I guess. You know, I need to analyze that a little bit. You think I've been basic going through life, Boyd?
I think you've been basic, but I don't think you've been harmless.
Okay. That's true. The antler restriction thing that we entailed, what was it, 8 years ago?
Has it been that long?
Could be.
Maybe.
Maybe it just took longer for it to kick in than I anticipated. Maybe that's what the deal is. But, I've 150 deer is a huge deer. I don't care who you are. You know, if you're Dr. Deer, that's a big deer, you know. But, boy, 150s, time and time again.
So
guy sent me one the other day, 187 and an eighth.
Oh, boy.
The guy came working on my gas meter the other day, Tarkio, nicest young man I've met in years. Worked for the gas service company up there. Wish I'd got his name. He had a 187 and an eighth.
Gosh.
You know?
Wow, that's a nice
monster.
And I asked him, I said, did you see this deer before? No. Just grabbed a gun. My buddy Kenny, he was smoking a doobie sitting on the pond dam many years ago, and he killed this 202, and the rifle was shooting 3 foot high and 2 foot to the right, but he killed him.
What do you think about the impact of archery and muzzleloader season as it precedes rifle season? I've been kind of ambivalent about it, particularly with the archery people, and please, nowhere out there, don't pick on Fred or me and don't be offended, but the crossbow thing, they're like a rifle.
Yeah, true.
I mean, at 75 yards?
You get a beer can at 75 yards?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, the inline black powder, the first time I shot one of these, you know, this is supposed to be a primitive weapon.
No.
My thoughts are primitive is the flintlock, and every once in a while they go off.
The stuff that Hatfield used to build.
Yeah, and before they took him away. But it was just absolutely bizarre the first time I shot. This is not a primitive weapon. I set up a can at 150 yards and hit it on the first shot.
Yeah.
Now, come on. Let's all lay our cards on the table. That's not primitive.
No more patches and round balls.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the molded bullets and the plastic expanding bases on them, and there's no leakage or anything like that of the explosion. I mean, they're consistent and accurate as the Dickens.
We got to take a little bit of a break. We're proudly brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. For you guys need an outbuilding, which who doesn't? Tobin, you agreed that you needed another outbuilding. Boyd, would you like to have another barn or shed?
I just wish I'd have built the one I have bigger.
That's what it amounts to.
So I do need another one, Fred. Same thing.
You still got the old car in there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You want to sell it?
No.
Oh, come on now.
No, I figured it just...
$55.
Well,
that's... Getting close. King City Lumber. If you're going to think about an outbuilding on your property, there's no finer people. KingCityLumber.com. Go to the website. You will be on there for a long, long time. If you don't see what you like, they'll help you design it and build it. There's nobody better than King City Lumber. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Yeah, I like the music better than I like the show.
Oh, yeah.
These guys know how to pick music.
Personal Jesus.
pieces.
Now, where did that come? Where, whose is this? Anybody know?
What?
Someone who cares. Who is it?
Johnny Cash.
Seriously?
Really? I didn't know that.
That's Jay Cash. Are you kidding me? We had the print, rendition of Johnny Cash with the Missouri Waltz on.
I know, unfortunately.
And you hated it. How come you hated it? Your own That's state flag
little
song?
Old.
Old?
Little old for me, yeah.
Little old for you. Hey, we're brought to you by Sure Ag. For you humans out here, we have a lot of farmers. My goodness, listen every Saturday. And you're going to be making decisions about fertilizer, weed control, bug control, the whole works, where there's no finer people than the people at Savannah, Missouri, Osborne, Four City, and Plattsburgh. It's called Sure Ag. And 116 years of experience just on the three guys I just mentioned, three retailers. There's nobody like them. They're the best. I've been using them now for, what, I don't know, 20 years, whatever it is, 15, 20 years. So if you want accuracy on your farm, that's what it comes down to, is accuracy on your farm for weed control and bug control. These are the guys you need to talk to. Go in there and talk to them right now, RATT, RAT now, and get it all lined up for this spring. You're going to love them. Sure Ag, again, Savannah, Osborne, Four City, and Plattsburgh, Missouri. Mark, are you going to talk to him?
I'm not farming.
Okay.
I've got a garden.
Before we get over here with Bobby Hayden, you've been doing fishing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It's changing. The water, you know, it's down to the 43-degree range, 45. So.
And so you're not jumping in?
No.
You could use a bath.
Well, I try to do that once a week, whether I need
once
it or
a week.
Not. Yeah, yeah. But the crappie moved off the laydowns, the shallow laydowns, and they're out a little bit deeper. But they're still biting. The white bass have pretty much a lot of them have moved out of the creeks, but there's still pockets of them in there. So if you still try some of these shallow places, but you get any wind, and windy banks are still good for not only white bass but largemouth bass.
Mm-hmm.
Truman is just fantastic. Kansas Lakes are really good. Yeah, it's still.
I heard a guy, saw it on maybe Facebook or something, but anyway, I don't know where I saw it. I'm old. White bass out of Milford.
Well, absolutely.
Monster white bass. I'm not talking, I'm talking big white bass.
Yeah, over 2 pounds, 2.5.
If you weigh your thumb there a little bit on them, but I think there are probably some 3 pound whites.
Oh,
there
that picture. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
I mean,
tons of hybrids.
It's unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
best kept secret in the United States of America is Milford, Kansas.
Right, and smallmouth bass. A lot of smallmouth bass.
Get
had there.
Huh? I'm going to take Boyd out there. Well, I don't be seen in public with him.
Yes.
But what the hey.
It's still time to catch fish.
Yes. And they're really good eating this time of year.
Yeah, meat's
well,
firm.
They're good all year, but
yeah.
they firm up and they get better.
Yeah, if they die in your live well, they don't spoil. That water's cold enough.
We are calling down to, and Bobby, now you're going to have to give us a little bit of lateral line here a little bit. Boyd Metz made a terrible judgment and error.
Sorry, Bobby.
And we're going to spank him here before long. And we're so sorry, but he told you 7:15.
Yes, well, I told him 6:15 originally, and then my Mr. Conrad, my admin, said no, and I was confused and. I attribute some of that to my age, but let me just do an intro, Fred.
All
along
right, cool,
with you.
Cool.
We've got Bobby Hayden, is president and CEO of Starline Brass in Sedalia, Missouri. And a few months back, Fred had said to me, "How does HSM make their ammunition so consistently accurate?" Well, one of the factors are the components, obviously, and one of the big factors in components is the brass. And we have found, and we've looked at a lot of different brass makers, but Starline has been the most consistent, the most dimensionally correct brass manufacturer and producer of rifle and pistol and revolver brass that we've come in contact with. And I'm talking European products as well as domestic products. And a lot of that has contributed to Bobby Hayden at Starline. Good morning, Bobby.
Well, good morning, Boyd. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm real fine.
I think that's a form of an apology, too, all in the same breath. I'm undercoating there a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to get me up an hour early, then I mean, at least you could be nice to me, right?
Yeah. Right. Now, here's what I get, and I've got a lot of listeners that reload, and they always say to me, brass is just brass. And I said, no. I'll argue to the end of the earth and saying, how do you keep such consistency in your brass?
Well, I mean, you guys said it, you know, making brass is all about the first piece being as good as the, you know, the one you make a half a million pieces later. Mm-hmm. And they all got to be the same, and that's the deal. And probably the claim to fame would be our consistency, and that is due to the small lot sizes. You know, the random sampling we do is we're running the machines in every different area, and the people that are doing that for us. That's probably the, you know, one of the big differences is our process and the people.
Well, I mean, let's say, for instance, you're running a load of brass out, and all of a sudden, does something tell you that you're doing something wrong? Or are you micing them every so many rounds, or what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's basically it. You know, we've got a machine running, filling up a tray, and as that tray is filling up, then we're checking the parts for the, you know, the dimensional characteristics of it. And, you know, just making sure that everything is what it's supposed to be. And then obviously our in-house tolerances are much tighter than what we're allowed. So, you know, that's one way to certainly keep a handle on it.
And this relates to accuracy in the load, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, the first one and the last one got to be the same. So if they're the same length and the same wall thickness and all those good things, then the pressure on the bullet on the neck of the
exactly.
case is the same and all those good things. And so every little bit makes a big difference when you get to the end.
How long have you guys been in business?
We've been doing this since 1976.
Gee whiz, y'all be getting it down, huh?
Well, you'd think. One way or the other, right?
Man, I'll tell you what, I get into this. I may be too anal about it, but, brass to me is step A. I don't, you know, and then, of course, then your primer, and then I think your powder, which is all three components. But I've been shooting this HSM, and I've been shooting this light.
Low recoil.
I call it light, but it's just low recoil, and I can shoot with it. I'm accurate with it. I'm not getting out of my gun. You know, I love the products, and people should be buying it. I mean, that, if you're into accuracy like I am, this is the way to do it. This is the finest components that man can make, I think.
And we're back. We're manufacturing and we're shipping. So our distribution channel is available to the dealers out there with those products. And we're limited to some degree. We're doing 6mm, which includes 243 and 6mm arc. And we're doing the 30 caliber, which includes 308, 30-06. I even think we cranked out some 300 Win Mag. So we're happy to have the product back online and running it. But
yep.
If I can change the subject, and while I have Bobby on here, just like to do a little something. Bobby's family, along with him, have been very involved in an organization called Retrieving Freedom. And I'll let Bobby get more detailed about this, but I've toured the facility and been there, talked with the people that run it, seen what they're doing. And I know it's the giving time of the year, and it's always important to give if you can. But this organization does something that's really unique. They breed, they raise from puppies. I saw the puppies, and they train dogs for disabled veterans and autistic children. And the facility is set up that they bring the people, the recipients of these animals are brought in, and they stay right there, and they learn to work with the animal.
Fantastic.
They have housing for the family to come along.
Wow.
I mean, it's a great facility that would love to have you come visit. If you have a group, go take a tour, whatever. But the principal people behind this is Bobby Hayden and his father, Bob Hayden. So, Bobby, tell us.
Well, I tell you what, Bobby, we've got to take a break. You're going to have to hang on. I hate to, you know, we've got you up early. We might as well abuse you while you're here. So, please just hang on. We're going to go into this retrieverfreedom.org. I think people should Google this and take a look at this and get involved if they possibly can. So we've got to take a little bit of a break. Are we going to have Bud on at right after the half hour? Then we'll do our guy with Bud, and then we'll come right back with you. We're going to give you the rest of the show, Bobby. And sorry to have waken you up.
Tell him to stay. Bobby, you have to stay awake.
Have you got any caffeine?
I got you, boys. I got you. I got my coffee going now.
All right, good man, Bobby. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We are proudly brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. I got to tell you, guys, had a little incident in our family with a car wreck. And which everybody did. And Reed's found out about it. I didn't tell him. I didn't talk to him about it. I come home and there's a rental car sitting in my driveway.
Is that right?
Why in the world? And I'm going to tell you what. That company, if you don't, shame on you if you don't do business with this kind of people. They are just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And that's just one thing I know about. I know hundreds. That Reed family.
They're special.
They are special, and they're different, and they're worth the drive. The Chevrolet store, of course, is up on Frederick and I-29 St. Joe. Do business with honorable people.
Yep.
About as simple as it gets, isn't it?
And they are honorable.
You can't believe it. And one of these days, I'm going to tell some of the stories about the Reed family, and they don't want me to.
No.
But I'm going to, and they're going to fire me or kick me or whatever they got to do, but... They're just, that's the kind of people you do business with.
They do favors for people, and they don't want anybody, they don't want recognition for
it.
But you need to recognize some of the things that they do, because they're that special.
Yep. Unbelievable. You know, we had this little incident, and there's a rental car sitting in my driveway with D tags on it, ready to go, full of gas. Mm-hmm. Why would you do, I mean, just because they care.
Yeah.
It's just caring people. So anyway, Reed Chevrolet. I-29 Frederick, 33 minutes if you drive like Fred Ramsey from the end of KCI. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer Fred Ramsey. Also joining us in studio is Boyd Metz from HSM Ammunition, and joining me on the phone right now is Bud Gordon from the Sports Medicine Store. Good morning, Bud.
Morning, guys. Good morning to you.
How are you helping people solve pain out at the Sports Medicine Store this week?
Well, you've got some friends that have had some bad knees, right?
Oh, yes.
And they haven't had very good results with their surgery.
Right.
Well, my background, as you well know, I spent about 30 years designing total knees and hips and shoulders, and about 10 years ago, I found that a lot of people who need a total knee are just not candidates. They may be overweight. They may have cardiovascular problems. All kind of reason that surgeon's not going to take them to the OR. And so historically, they've been going and getting shots like steroid shots, which I'm pretty much vehemently against because they don't fix anything. They just mask the problem. So a group of us got together and we designed what is called an osteoarthritic and loader brace. They're phenomenal. They weigh 14 ounces. You get up in the morning, put your underclothes on, put the brace on, clothes go over the top of it, and you're pretty much out of pain. It's an unloaded brace. And what happens with people with bone on bone, the way God designed the knee, there's a soft tissue called a meniscus between your two larger bones, and it just gets worn out over time, or sometimes it just disappears. So bone hits bone, i.e. bone on bone, nerves hit nerves, you have excruciating pain where you're up and about, usually for hours thereafter even when you go to bed. What this brace does, it actually opens up the joint, much like a miniature jack, okay? It holds the joint open all day long. You don't need these damn injections. You just hold it open, and you go put in 8-10 hour day, climb up and down off tractors, down a big trucks, things you couldn't do before. I got a bunch of UPS guys. They tell me they climb out of those trucks sometimes 800-900 times a day, and they were going to retire early. And I don't know how many UPS guys are coming to get these braces out, because they can continue to work with that thing. So if folks are out there, and there's lots of your listeners that are down with what they call bone on bone, rather than going to get another injection that doesn't work, have them come by. We're at 9738 Warnell in Kansas, Missouri. If they have any questions or their doctors have any questions, have them call me, Bud, or Steve, and they can reach us at area code 816-859-5440. We're there 6 days a week. Monday through Friday, we get there at 9, and we close at 4. And on Saturdays, we'll be there at 9 until 2. And it takes about 20 minutes to fit them. They actually leave with them. I didn't want them to buy them. So they try them on, make sure they absolutely work. They turn around, they give this, oh, my God, look, like these things should never work, and they do. And they walk out without pain. So all those folks out there that have been suffering bone on bone, there is a solution now. It's a great one.
My doctor has had 2 knee replacements, and both of them have failed, and he needs a third one. And my son-in-law's mother has had 2, and both of them failed. She just had a third one. It's just, and they have been in agony for 3 to 5 years. So, I mean, give this brace a try. Right. If you've tried others, this is unlike any of the other ones out there. If you've got that kind of pain, you have got to give this a try before you go get another injection or go get operated on, which may or may not work either. So, again, where are you at, Bud?
We're 9738 Warnell, Suite 100. And again, they can reach us at area code 816-859-5440. And we'd like to have people call us before they drive in, because we're going through so many of these. I want to make sure they're in stock. I got a big order coming in on Monday or Tuesday. We're getting low. So have everybody call us before they take the drive in. I know they'd like to get out of pain today. Hopefully we'll have enough for people, but not if not, by Wednesday or Thursday next week, we're back in full business.
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the work that you do.
Have a great weekend.
You too. We'll talk to you next week.
Put one on a farmer, couldn't get on his tractor anymore.
Yeah.
And put the loader brace on and got emotional, and he, got back on his tractor.
Yeah, it brought him to tears.
Brought him to tears. Unbelievable product. And a thing. Yeah. You know, Bud's a wonderful person.
Yeah, and that knee pain, there's not much worse than that. It affects everything that you do.
Speaking of pain, Bobby Hayden is here with us, president of Starline Brass. We pained him up a little bit, got him out of bed. And he hadn't been up this early since he went duck hunting that time with me. No, he didn't go, did he? He was smart when he stayed in bed. Starline Brass out of Sedalia, Missouri. I like that. A Missouri boy. RetrievingFreedom.org. Bobby, tell us about this. How did this get started and what's going on with it?
Well, I'll tell you what. So my dad is into field trialing and training and competing in dogs and all that, and came across some people that were basically just got back from over in Afghanistan. They trained bomb dogs, and basically they were tired of their dogs getting blowed up and that kind of thing. When they got back to the States, they decided to take it a different path and started training these dogs, wanted to help people. And so as opposed to doing what they were doing, they started putting their efforts into training dogs to help disabled veterans and children with autism. And, you know, what a deal. It took off, and here we are, you know, almost 20 years later.
Wow. So you guys been around for 20 years doing this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It started out real small, you know, onesie-twosie, and as it had grown into an organization, we have 2 facilities, one in Iowa and one in Sedalia, Missouri. And, you know, we've got about 90 dogs in the system right now that are at different stages of training. And, you know, our mission is to help as many people as we can with these animals.
I've got a yellow lab. It's brain dead. Do you think you could help him out any at all?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't ever give up on a dog, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, it takes 2 years to get these dogs trained.
Wow.
And so we've got, you know, we may have over $40,000 in one of these dogs by the time it's ready to meet its new individual and go off and change the life of somebody. So there's a lot to it. It's a big process, and unfortunately, we can't do everything we need to do. You know, the demand is way more than what the output is for these dogs. So,
Well, I mean, step A. I mean, how in the world? One is the litter, the breeding. I mean, how do you determine what dogs got some capabilities and some don't?
Well, I mean, so the breeding is a big part of it. We're trying to really step up our breeding program to breed in the temperament. Obviously, the health part of it is a big deal. But, you know, once we get there, then we're really looking for that temperament. You know, it's mainly labs and golden retrievers or a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to get that temperament where they're non-reactive, you know, they don't react to anything there in their environment. And then they're, you know, our labs and our golden retrievers love their food, so they'll you can train them, you know, with positive reinforcement all the way through, and it's amazing what you can get them to do.
Could you do that to Boyd Matz with positive reinforcement and feeding him? Does that work too?
Man, I don't know. Boyd's in a whole other situation, but by God, we could give her a shot.
I think we could put a shock collar around his neck, maybe even make him heal every once in a while. I don't know. You know, I think maybe it's too late for him. He's old. He's wore out. You know, he's old. You know, so I don't know if we can do this or not. You get a litter of puppies. I mean, is there a percentage? Is it 2% of the litter make it, 20%, 80%? Where are you at with that?
We're looking at about a 50% success rate. So it takes about 2 years to get them, like you say, through the stage one, stage two training to where we're ready to go to stage three and place them with a client. And they'll come out. You know, sometimes they just, you know, they bark at cats or they, you know, they don't like loud noises. They react to things. So you just, you know, they're good dogs, but you just can't, you know, they've got to be cream of the crop to be one of our service animals. So
how, I mean, limit. For the ones that do wash out, I mean, do you make them into a hunting dog or what goes on there?
Well, you certainly could. I mean, they end up in classrooms a lot, you know, so they turn into therapy dogs a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
They've careered out and they go in, training for a drug dog or something like that. They go into courtrooms. It's amazing the power of a dog and the healing that it can bring, or the, you know, how they de-stress people. And you just put these dogs in environments where people just need to hug a dog and all of a sudden they're better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is more than interesting to me. I mean, I'm always amazed. You know, I watch a little TV from time to time, and they'll have them that sniff drugs, and all of a sudden they're walking through the airport, and this dog sits down and points at somebody, basically, and they get, oops.
They
got a bag of marijuana inside a Ziploc, and they still smell it. Well, you know, that is just amazing. Now, if we have a listener out here that needs one of these dogs, you got to get on the list. Does it take years to get on this to get this?
Well, no. Basically, so you put out, there's an application that you fill out, send in to us, and then we'll contact you and go over a phone consult. And then if everything in your information meets what, you know, our criteria, and then everything goes good on the phone call, then we'll have you set up an in-person meeting. Kind of go through the process. You know, right now it is about some people have been waiting longer than 2 years.
Wow.
And so we'll get people lined up, and then, you know, it's interesting, once they get through stage two, the kind of the dog and the client, kind of that relationship is kind of picks itself. We'll, you know, pick out a few dogs that we think will match this person's situation and their personality, and then it's interesting, that match just kind of happens organically. The dog will pick the person, and the person picks the dog, and
wow.
It's an interesting process. But
I'll bet,
yeah.
Wow, so. what a deal! I'm so proud of you. My understanding is too that your dad donated all the ground.
Yeah, so we donated 22 acres off our farm in Sedalia to build the headquarters, and you know, once we got around this thing, we realized what a blessing it was to, you know, to be able to directly help people and change their lives like these dogs do. And so,
yeah.
You know, we're lucky to have it in our backyard, and we love to show it off and love to show people, you know, what we're doing down here.
Well, I've never met your dad. I've never met you, Bobby, but I'll tell you what, that's, you're a special kind of breed of people to do that, and my hat's off to you. I know it's got to be trying at times. I know it's got to be hard to do. How many trainers are involved in this situation?
You know, we've got about 22 employees right now.
Wow.
Dog training, the dog training part of it obviously makes up the bulk of it. So, you know, there's so many different ways to get involved. We have volunteers that foster the puppies, you know, basically from birth till, you know, around that 1 year of age. That's called stage one. And then they turn them back into us, and then these dogs go into programs that we've set up in colleges or in prisons. You know, there's all kinds of different things that come into this dog's training as it goes through the process. And then stage three, they come back to the facility, and that's where we finish them up and then match them with the person.
Hmm. Now, you probably have shipped these dogs all over the United States then, huh?
Yeah, we're a national organization. You know, a lot of it's in the Midwest because of proximity. And by God, you know, there's just so many people that need these animals and need this help. You know, with the situation and our veterans and suicide rates and autism rates going through the roof. You know, so we don't have to go far to find people to help, but we've got them everywhere from, you know, Oregon to, you know, to Florida, basically, and everywhere in between.
Wow. I mean, maybe you said this, but how many dogs do you train a year?
So we've got right now about 90 in the system, and it fluctuates based on, you know, puppies coming in and dogs careering out and or being placed. And so 90 dogs in the system. This year we're probably going to get placed a dozen, something like that. And we're kind of ramping back up from COVID. You know, COVID kind of shut us down a little bit and cut down our puppy supply. And so now we've got this two-year gap we're getting through, and now we're ramping back up to where, you know, next year we'll be in the, hopefully we'll be getting into that 20-dog placement neighborhood and keep going from there.
Bobby, you and your family are a special kind of people, the kind of guests we like to have on the Midwest Outdoors. You make such a difference in people's lives. My hat's off to you. You make the best brass in America, but my goodness, for you to do this is just beyond call. And I'm so proud of you guys and your family. And I tell you what I would like to do. I would like to come by and see your facility. Is that okay?
We'd absolutely love to show it to you. You know, the one thing is we don't charge a dime for these dogs. It's all, you know, all done by the goodness of people's hearts.
You don't charge for the dogs?
The service is absolutely free to the client.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Right.
Yeah, money doesn't restrict what we do, but, you know, as you know, that everything that you do takes money. So
exactly.
You know, we can use all the help we can get.
My goodness. I mean, do you have dogs food sponsor, or do you have that?
You know, there's so many different ways to help, from, you know, sponsoring training to sponsoring a puppy to buying dog food. You know, there's many, many different ways to help, to donate your time. So retrievingfreedom.org is, you know, get on the website and check it out. There's many, many ways to get involved with this. And, you know, again, we're just directly changing lives, you know, with these dogs. And if you like dogs, you like helping autistic children, you like helping disabled veterans, then, you know, we got the place for you to do that.
Wow. That thing has grown. I mean, was in Missouri, now you got in Iowa, and you got that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it actually started in Iowa, and then, the Sedalia facility is the second facility we've got.
Wow. Wow.
Hats off to you. That's amazing.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's still good humans around, isn't there?
Isn't there?
Isn't there some?
A few.
Not very many, but it seems like, you know, the deal, but what the hey. Well, I appreciate you getting up. I know we woke you up in the middle of the dark, but and that was Boyd's fault. I'll discipline him when we get outside. I can't do it in the studio. They get mad at me, but I'll discipline when I get outside. And you don't understand what this means to me. I just love that you got out of bed and helped us out here. And I hope this whole organization, we've got some listeners out there that will come and help you, look at your facilities, donate, whatever they need to do to get this thing to more veterans. I'm on in on the thing, so appreciate it more than you'll probably ever know, kid.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate you fellas for the opportunity to tell you what we do, and now that you got me out of bed, I think it's good morning to go hunting. I think there's something going to go out there to chase something around, so I appreciate you fellas.
Yeah, go shoot a pesky deer or something, I don't know, you know, do something weird to a small animal, we'd appreciate it. We'd appreciate it. Bobby, thank you for doing that. It means a lot to me, and I'm serious. And that's maybe one of the better shows I've done for a long, 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 long time, other than when, never mind, but we'll go there. But thank you for making your brass, your product, and being involved with all the veterans.
All right, partner. Well, you guys appreciate you, and you guys have a Merry Christmas.
All right,
thanks,
kiddo.
Bobby. Take care.
Yeah.
All right, take care, fellas.
What a wonderful human. That whole family must be special.
It really touched me when I was there and visited the facility. And, you know, HSM has been involved in helping them out. And I come home personally and got involved financially to help them out. I mean, it's just an endearing situation, from the animals to the results of what the animals do for people. You know, I'll say this. Always keep in mind, dog, you know what dog is spelled backwards, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's as close as it gets.
That's as close as it gets.
Yeah.
And you listeners can figure that out for yourself.
Yeah. Retrievingfreedom.org. Get involved with this.
Please
Google
get
it
involved.
Up. Please get involved. Help out. You can volunteer on this thing. Let's get back to HSM if we can real quick.
Okay, sure.
Your ammunition is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I don't want to shoot anything else ever the rest of my life. That's how good it is, the darn thing. But you're making 6mm now?
We're making 6mm low recoil, and it's an obscure caliber to some degree. The 6mm ARC, we're producing that. It's one of the hybrid cartridges that was introduced a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
but has good ballistic characteristics, and we tune it down, the recoil, obviously, the same as the 243, and we're also doing 30 caliber. It's a matter of product availability.
Yeah.
But if I can, excuse me, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, I was just low recoil is back.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Last time you were on the show, I mentioned that, and you were like,
yeah, well, no. we didn't have the components, and there was a powder change, something that you guys at Reload out there keep in mind. Powders are becoming a problem worldwide because of all the crises that are going on in the world. And stop and think, you use a spoonful of powder when you reload a cartridge, and they use buckets full of powder when they make them an artillery shell. So,
war's
it's product going availability.
Yeah.
Just real quick, what is low recoil?
What is low recoil?
Yeah.
It's a reduction in recoil when you fire the rifle.
It's as simple as it gets.
Yeah. And we tell people right up front, it's designed for 200 yards.
It has a little learning curve with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a learning curve. You have to zero, just like you do when you change ammunition or
great coyote load. Great coyote
but
load.
It's a comfort load. We've talked about, and I don't want to beat the subject, we talked about it being recoil sensitive. And when you're shooting at game, you don't notice it. But when you go out and sit down at the bench, you go, I don't want to do a whole lot of this. But generally speaking, it's a more pleasant performing round.
Exactly. Good way to put it. A very pleasant round to shoot.
Yeah.
As you get older, especially, you don't need somebody beating you with a hammer.
You know,
I mean, it's just as simple as it gets on the thing.
Or 35 to 50% reduction in recoil, depending on the caliber.
That's huge.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, it is huge. It is huge when you actually take. And if you doubt that, take your regular ammunition.
Yeah.
Our regular ammunition. Shoot a round of that. Shoot a round of low recoil, and you'll go, whoops.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Huge difference.
Right.
You get older, it's like it always say, you want to get hit with a 3-pound hammer or a 6-pound hammer. If you're going to get hit, you might have a 3-pound hammer and the thing. And what happens is when you shoot a lot, you start developing bad habits.
Oh, yeah.
You start getting out of your gun.
Thing. Yep.
And, boy, this HSM, man, I'm telling you, I was lethal.
The young people and the girls, I mean, It's just really caught on with the younger people. If you have a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old you're going to take out for the first time.
It's very important.
Yeah, you don't want to frighten the kids on pulling.
They make a 22 round. We're about out of time. They don't, do they?
No.
243
and 30 calibers, which is .6 308.
Do they make a 25-06?
No, we do not.
Yeah, okay, so 30 caliber basically is all the way through.
6mm and 30 caliber right now is what's available.
And they're made in Montana.
They're made in Montana, Stevensville, Montana, the home of HSM ammunition. And we have one thing, accuracy.
Exactly.
We're in the ammo business, but accuracy is our product.
And it's available. Look around. Great Guns has it up here. Cabela's has it, I believe. Bass Pro, the whole
Midway.
Midway.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful product. 100% endorsement on it. So we're out of time. Mark, you going fishing?
I am.
Where are you heading? Lake the Ozarks.
Lake the Ozarks.
White bass, poor things.
Yes.
They don't stand a chance.
And I might catch a stray walleye, maybe.
Oh.
Walleye, goodie.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you guys coming in here. Tommy was AWOL for a little bit, but we got him straightened out.
Couldn't find his Speedos.
I just couldn't find his Speedos. It's kind of weird he walks in there with Speedos.
Yeah, that's not a good visual.
It's just, that's just the way it is.
Left in the dryer and it shrunk.
And improper potty training kicks in somewhere, I'm sure, on the thing.
So thanks, Fred.
You guys are wonderful. Tommy, thank you for coming in, too. Mark, thank you for coming
in. See you next week.
We will? Yeah. You think they'll still employ her?
Well, we'll see. It's always a question.
They should terminate our employment immediately. Got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.